stuff and accustomed to it and different neighborhoods and sections and different things like that. So just excited to learn.
My name is Taylor. I've always had a heart for this area of town, and so just excited to learn more about it.
My name is Sam Oswald. I worked 32 years in law enforcement and worked in the downtown area. And just curious to see what has happened since I left. I retired a number of years ago, and to see what's happening in Southwest Fresno.
I'm Marilyn, and I just basically just want to, I don't know much about the area. I just like to know.
All right. Thank you all for sharing. And so looks like many of us are here to learn. So that's exciting. So before we even discuss the new signs of hope and the exciting work that we're doing, we will talk about some of the pain and the things that may have hurt us and how we got to the place, just as Joe White was sharing in our keynote earlier. So we're just going to jump right on in. And then we're going to learn a little bit more about Tiffany and I. Sorry to bring you back up.
Oh, all is well. All is well. Always. So I am a lifelong Fresnan. I've been here all of my life. To give you a little bit of background, my father moved here about 42, 43 years ago. He's been a pastor in Southwest Fresno for that long. Same church, same location and everything. And some years ago, you know, God really just gave him a vision to continue to support and stay in West Fresno. We had this opportunity to build a new multi-million dollar facility, and we got so much push, don't build in Southwest. But we were committed to the community and to the area, and so we ended up investing and really digging our heels in to become rooted even more so than we already were in Southwest Fresno. And so out of that kind of grew my passion and love for its people, for the culture, for seeing it thrive, seeing Southwest Fresno thrive. I'm a Fresno State grad. Go Dawgs. So very proud of that. Grew up here, went to elementary, I mean, just everything here, everything Fresno. Like I said, I'm a second generation collaborator and leader in Southwest Fresno. And then also, I just love Southwest. I'm an advocate for everything Southwest, all of our growth, development, its people, its heritage. We have a very strong pride in Southwest Fresno, and so that's who I am.
All right, again, I'm Sharayla Nicholson. I moved to Fresno in 2003.
It's 10 hours.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my computer. It does that every hour on the hour. So I moved to Fresno in 2003 from Los Angeles to attend Fresno State. So I've made Fresno home. So this is my 16th year here. I'm the part-time executive director for St. Rest's EDC. And so my work and Tiffany's work is neighborhood resilience work and how to help make things better. So I have one more activity. I know you guys are here to learn more about Southwest, but we do have a little icebreaker. So we are a communal folk, so we want to engage. And so what we're going to do here just for the next like couple minutes, we're going to pass out the note cards, and we want to know, you just can meet, talk to your partner and list things that makes a happy and healthy neighborhood. Some of those examples can include like a grocery store, shopping, like what are some of the amenities that you like or that you think when you think about a happy and healthy neighborhood, like what are some of those things that stand out to you? So just take a couple of minutes here and just jot down a list of things with like a partner and just quickly chat. So I'll give you guys 2 minutes and then we'll come back and share out.
Thank you.
your nervousness off of your phone.
It's time. Everyone, can we come back together? Ready to bring it home. Here we go. All right, so not in any order. Does anyone want to share out maybe some of the list of things that was discussed in your group, what makes it happy and healthy?
I play at a grocery store. I know it's there's a lot of places in Fresno that are food deserts that don't have grocery stores. Hope, having neighborhood, having hope.
Mm-hmm.
So some neighborhoods are kind of hopeless.
Yeah. That's good. Anyone else?
Sidewalks.
Sidewalks?
Safety for the kids to be able to walk around, families to be able to take their dog for a walk. If you can't walk on the sidewalk, you have to walk in the street.
Mm-hmm.
May not be as clean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We put identity. Mm-hmm. And definitely a cleanliness and safeness.
Okay. That's good.
Parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies behind me mentioned a community center, which I thought was very intuitive.
Yeah.
We put down community, as in if you know who your neighbors are, then you feel safe to walk around it because you know whose house that is and you have a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For many of us, live in neighborhoods where people are sort of behind a lot of walls and just daily conversations with people can be really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to say hello and to make that connection on a daily basis and be consistent with it.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about community-wide access of things too, and people mentioning park space, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things that occur politically, money being expended in communities, and you look at North Fresno, and there's bike trails, and there's you know, trash is picked up, and places, you know, community medians are weeded and watered, and that's not always the case in Southeast and Southwest Fresno. access to adequate medical care, access to the things that many folks in different income strata sort of take for granted and are not given access to politically.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are a good list of things. Oh, you have?
I was going to say a sense of safety. Mm-hmm. And I think that would come not only from having more policemen, but having more interaction with the police so that people felt they're here to help me and not just to hurt me.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing. That is a really good list, and we're going to talk about some of the things that Southwest Fresno lacks and some of the areas of opportunities that we have. Like Sam mentioned, the lack of parks. We certainly have a lack of parks in Fresno. Grocery stores, lack of grocery stores in Southwest Fresno. I live in Southwest Fresno, and so I have to drive a lot further north to go grocery shopping, right? To get fresh fruits and produce. Because sometimes in my neighborhood store, it's maybe not the best all the time. So we're going to look at kind of like the history of Fresno, through this kind of timeline. We're going to look at like some housing, policies, federal policies, and things like that. So I'll just share just quick snapshots of the history of Fresno. It was founded in 1872, and it actually, the growth of Fresno started in Southwest Fresno, and then the growth start branching out further north. So I reached out to a few community members and got quotes from them. And so they said there were a lot of businesses in the community when we moved here. There were grocery stores, there were retails, and we don't see that anymore. It's all gone. Another resident said that it was a fun, booming area. We had our own businesses, shopping, and cleaners, and now they're all gone, but the vacant buildings are still here. And speaking of cleaners, that is actually one thing we don't have. We don't have a cleaners in Southwest Fresno. And so we'll share more about that. I'm going to have, do you have anything more to add about your?
Are you talking about dry cleaners?
Yeah. A dry cleaners. Yeah.
There's no like Martinizing or any sort of King's dry cleaner over there in Southwest Fresno?
No.
Are you serious?
We used to have a family-owned business that was there as far as the dry cleaners was concerned, but that was 20 years ago. Since then, we have had no dry cleaners in Southwest Fresno. Amongst other things. Banking
right.
is another one.
Yeah.
None of the major banks.
Mm-hmm. Tons of them. And right. Yeah.
But we don't quite have access to health resources, and we don't have access to financial management or institutions. So it's just a plethora of things.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk a little bit about public policy that may have shaped the image of our neighborhoods. And so while this video is, it's a lighthearted kind of way to talk about redlining and housing and the history of it. So a little bit of sarcasm, but the creator uses sarcasm to talk about serious issues. Just so you
Does anybody understand kind of what redlining is?
It's not so white here. Look.
Okay, let's exit. Yes, so it's pretty much federal government policies that were created to restrict people of color from moving into certain neighborhoods. It's actually banking practices that was practiced all over the country and here in Fresno that restricted people of color from moving into certain neighborhoods. So they would get denied loans and things like that.
You say certain neighborhoods, you mean neighborhoods of higher wealth?
Higher wealth, suburban, traditionally white areas.
Example would be OFIG.
So question, Sherela, is that still some of the practices today in the city?
Yes. And actually, Joe White, who we heard from earlier, we were talking before, and he said the deed on his home has restrictions, and I actually wrote down exactly what he said. He said his home could never be sold to Chinese, Armenian, or Blacks, and so he still has the original deed on his home. Now it's illegal, but he still has the original deed on his home that says that. And so there are many homes. So this video that we're going to see, it kind of is the federal government. We'll check it out and further discuss.
So white here, look.
Bad example. Ignore sweater dog people.
A tough bag full of kale. You're killing me, lady.
Okay, maybe this neighborhood is mostly completely insufferably white. But that's just the way things are here. It doesn't mean we're racist.
I'm sure you're not, Ron, but the fact that so many suburbs are mostly white is no accident. It's the result of decades of racist federal policy that affect us to this day. Look!
Hooray, game!
What the heck kind of game is this?
It's Settlers of the Suburbs, Redlining Edition.
Cool!
Little Donovan, you be green. Ron, you're red.
All right, red, just like the name. Looks like I've got the advantage.
No, you don't. See, in the 1930s, as part of the New Deal, FDR created loan programs to help Americans finance their homes. But to decide who got those loans, the government created color-coded maps in which green neighborhoods were good and red neighborhoods were bad. This practice became known as redlining. Because of these policies, if you lived in the green neighborhoods, it was super easy to get a home loan.
Oh, right! I can buy property!
But for folks in the red areas, no loans were available.
I can barely afford rent with this. There's no fair. The red areas are screwed.
Yeah, they were. And do you know why some areas were designated as red?
No, but I can guess.
Those were the neighborhoods where African Americans and other minorities lived, and redlining systematically prevented them from getting home loans.
Well, I know what I'll do. Just take my little guy and put him in the green neighborhood.
Sorry, that's against the rules. Early suburb developers like William Levitt instituted explicitly racist policies.
Levittown homes must not be used or occupied by any person other than members of the Caucasian race.
And the federal government itself encouraged developers to discriminate.
Developers, I want you to exclude non-whites.
The result of these policies is that from 1934 through 1968, a whopping 98% of home loans were given to white families.
Yes. Okay, this is not fair. I did not get to pick what color I was when I started.
Yeah, no one does. And this advantage compounded over time. The families in the green or white neighborhoods were able to purchase homes and accrue wealth.
The market went up. I can sell my house and buy a bigger one.
Whereas the people in the red neighborhoods got none of those opportunities.
I can't afford property. I'm behind on my electric bill.
In the green neighborhoods, the influx of new wealth attracted new businesses.
Whoa, we got an organic grocery.
Which caused property values to go up. Which meant white families could sell their homes and send their kids to college.
They grow up so fast.
passing down their wealth and advantages to future generations. Meanwhile, the red neighborhoods have far less ability to build wealth, and many remain trapped in poverty.
This game is rigged.
Yeah, it was. That's why laws were eventually passed that made most of these discriminatory practices illegal.
Great! Finally, I can move. I don't have enough money.
Exactly. Without wealth, families in the red neighborhoods couldn't afford to move up, keeping these communities separated by race. Today, 70 years after Levittown was created, it's still less than 1% black.
I may be dead, but the effect of my racism lives on.
And if the neighborhoods are segregated, that means the schools are, too.
What? That can't be true. We ended school segregation back in the 60s.
Sorry, Ron, but I'm afraid that's not true.
Ron, this is Nicole Hannah-Jones. She's a New York Times investigative reporter who covers civil rights issues, including school and housing segregation. Nicole, would you mind telling Ron what most people get wrong about segregation?
People tend to think of segregation as an archaic term for Jim Crow policies that led to the civil rights movement. But the truth is that black children are more segregated in schools now than at any time since the 1970s.
And in the U.S., schools are largely funded by property taxes. Since property values in the white neighborhoods are so much higher, their schools get way more money to spend on things like facilities, teachers, and supplies.
On the other hand, predominantly black and Latino schools are massively underfunded. They're less likely to have AP, science, and math courses, and they're the least likely to have experienced and qualified teachers.
The truth is, little Donovan doesn't just go to the best school, he goes to a segregated school.
No.
This is a direct result of decades of redlining policies enacted by our own government to build the suburbs. Highways that were built to make access to the suburbs easier for white Americans were often run right through black middle-class neighborhoods, destroying them.
People in the past were the worst.
It's not just the past. Banks still regularly charge black homebuyers higher rates on loans than they do white homebuyers, even when they have the same credit. Worst of all, black and Latino home seekers still experience 4 million incidents of illegal housing discrimination every year.
But, I mean, I didn't do any of that stuff. I'm not racist, and I worked hard to get this house.
Of course. But without realizing it, you've also gotten a leg up from America's history of racist housing policies. The suburb you live in was built on a foundation of segregation. And we can't close our eyes to that.
Okay, so does that answer the redlining question? Give us some more insight. Okay, so this is the actually City of Fresno redlining map. And as you can see here, the red looks a little bit more pinkish. So this is Southwest Fresno. And how it's, so it's four grades. The green areas are like the first grades, like they have here. The blue is like second tier. The third and the fourth, which are the yellow and the red, are mostly communities of color, are low income areas. So here this is Southwest. As you can see, this is downtown, Southeast here. And okay, so so the top of the yellow here,
yeah.
This is Shaw.
Okay.
Shaw, Herndon. This is the 99. The 41 goes straight through here. Yeah. Downtown, this is, yeah.
Is the far right pink like Sunnyside?
Yes. So this is actually some of the practices from Fresno. And even looking even deeper in local municipality, the lack of public policy from the Fresno City Council, even just updating like zoning laws, just as of the Southwest Pacific Plan and the downtown plan that was just adopted. Before that, zoning laws have not been updated, so most of Southwest Fresno was zoned as industrial. There's a lot of industrial businesses over here, then which creates pollution and then asthma and a host of health outcomes, poor health outcomes, including there was just a report that Southwest Fresno residents live 20 years less than folks that live Northwest. So, I mean, there's tons of data and statistics out there, and I have access to all that. We won't see all of that here, but if you're interested, I can share that with you. So this is how Fresno was redlined when the government was redlining communities.
So what year was that now?
I could find out. I'm not sure. Artie, do you know what year? Okay.
But it could be a little bit later because we weren't really that far north yet, so that might have been projected land development too.
And so, like mentioned, it doesn't just stop with housing. It also includes like median income. There's a lower median income for people of color, for African Americans and Latinos, just in the city and also county. It's hard to really get developers to develop in Southwest Fresno because it's more expensive. There are a lot of brownfields and contaminants. So for a developer to come in and say, all right, we'll build new housing or we'll build new infrastructure, it's more expensive because they might have to remediate the land. There's been so much industrial businesses where things are contaminated and labeled as brownfields. So then there's just like fields and infield of vacant land, and that creates other pollution problems in the air. There's also a lack of green space parks and grocery stores, like we've mentioned. Here there's a Building Healthy Community had, you know, created this flyer here, which talks about Southwest Fresno. The 93706 zip code has about 1 acre per 1,000 residents compared to North Fresno that has a little more than 4.5 per 1,000 residents. Right. And so how can we be better neighbors? Like, what message are we sending to our children, you know, really? And what policies can we advocate to improve the areas? It's like something that we like to think about. And many of you mentioned that you're interested in learning about the work that's happening and then how we can pull together and do more. So we'll touch more on that a little bit after Tiffany. And so I know that was like probably all of the pain of Southwest Fresno, but Tiffany's going to share about like the awesome work that we're doing moving forward to heal our communities.
All right, everyone. So let's go. When you typically, what's our number one search engine that we use? Of course, everybody knows Google. So when you look, when you go into Google and you Google Southwest, this is predominantly what you'll see. Shooting, some type of domestic issue. There's a shooting at the local market. This one's in California, in MLK, down the street from Edison High School. Church and Marks, that's actually a block and a half around the corner from my church. This is typically what you'll see in Southwest Fresno. But then you have to take a closer look as to what's happening now in Fresno, in Southwest Fresno. You have Lieutenant Ramsey here doing a polish and pray session with some of our kids. So he's out there painting nails. And then you have some of one of our larger partners in Southwest Fresno is our Southwest Policing District, led by Captain Mark Salazar, who's
centered here. But this is a group of residents, community leaders, city folks, folks who are working in Southwest Fresno to make us all better. And then you'll also see something like this. One of our nonprofits, Take a Stand, which is led by the Sumler Sisters, which are pictured, Jenna Sumler's there. They are creating opportunities for our community to come together as neighbors, as family, recognizing who we are and the power that we have by coming together. A realization that we just really kind of, through years of frustration and whatnot, realize that we have. And so you'll see them here leading a group of young folks. This is during the MLK, one of our MLK marches that we have in Fresno. You'll have this. They also do a lot of gathering of our youth. This is our teen summit, some of our youth from our teen summit that we host every year now. And Janice and some partners like Southwest, Fresno, CDC, St. Rest, and others come together to help her give a one-day kind of retreat for our young people. They come and talk about different things that are of importance to them. Bullying, school, jobs. What do I want my future to look like? What opportunities do I want to take advantage of and or create myself? And so this is something else that you'll also see in Southwest Fresno. And some others here doing some work and cleanup in Southwest Fresno, actually on Elm Avenue. I sit on one of the committee in Southwest Fresno for the Elm Avenue corridor planning, which is a huge, it's a home to a lot of our brownfields. Do everybody know what brownfields are? I think we kind of. So brownfields, Shirley kind of touched a bit on it, but brownfields are really kind of contaminated areas.
I'm sorry, thank you. I'll do this all day. So brownfields are really contaminated areas. Chemicals, different pollutants, and whatnot that really the city has really kind of, through their different policies, it's a barrier for us to really develop and to grow and for businesses to come in. Historically, for example, we said we had a family dry cleaners there. So that land actually is contaminated because of the chemicals that they use. And because we have a high level of zoning of industrial parcels in the area, whatever was there, different factories and whatnot, whatever they developed or made or whatnot contaminates the area. So then that hinders other developers or builders to come or businesses to come in because to clean up the remediation, the costs are so high. So now we have a huge interest from the EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency, to come in and clean up spaces like that. But it's about collaborating and bringing our community organizations together to apply for those funds and get the funds in to clean up so that we can then think about the future development.
I'll add, go back one. I added those.
This one? Okay.
Yeah. So speaking of brownfield, so St. Russ Baptist Church has acquired this parcel here. And it was a gas station decades ago. And so it's been sitting.
Thank you. It's been sitting for decades and just sitting. It's perpetuating blight in the neighborhood. It's an eyesore. It's ugly. And so we've been very involved in some of those planning efforts to figure out, like, St. Russ owns land. It's been also sitting there for 40 years, and it's kind of like, okay, well, what do? We don't have enough resources, expertise at the table. So really, like, the last 5 years, we've really been investing our time and talents to, like, learn how does community development work? Like, how can we get folks to believe in us to say, hey, okay, well, let's try to figure out how to repurpose this land. So this is a picture of the land, just, we're cleaning it up. We did find some funds to remediate it, to use it as a temporary plaza. So this, what you see here, are neighbors, church members, and community organizations coming together, pulling together. I mean, it was super awesome. And we did, like, community build days. So this is what you see here. We have folks, we have kids coming out. The kids painted everything. It was, like, a really awesome community experience. This mayor came out here and helped. And so we really, we'll go to the next one. So now, today, it is St. Rest Plaza on Elm Avenue. And it's an outdoor, we have a concession stand. Here is seating. We're working on funding for lighting here. There's going to be a mural. There was a stage built. And so this is kind of the pulling together of resources and communities that this is one example. And so this space will be used for an outdoor farmers market. In the summer, we'll do movie nights with Fresno PD. And so we're just looking at, now we're starting to look at things and see opportunities of hope and promise, like as we were talking about. So that's one example. Oh, and we had a Winter Wonderland, so that's an event that we had, and there was praise dance, or the choir, a few members had sang at an event.
So Who We Are includes a very diverse group of residents. Can you see that? Am I in the way? Okay. So a very diverse group of residents. Historically, Southwest Fresno has been predominantly African American. But what's happened really kind of over the last decade, there's been this transition where we still kind of have our African American families, but we have a huge population of Latino families coming in as well. And so we're seeing kind of Southeast Asian as well. So we're seeing kind of this mix. This very diverse group of residents, also resident groups, neighborhood groups, small businesses, I say legacy and newcomers. Legacy businesses would be those who've been there for decades. Some have closed up that have been there, small businesses, and then some are newcomers. And we're also working now to partner with other organizations to figure out how to facilitate this new era of entrepreneurship in Southwest Fresno. We have our faith-based institutions, of course, as well, our churches, but also some of our nonprofits that are faith-based that are working in the community to help us improve our spaces that are helping to empower our residents, inform our residents, and really create opportunity for them. Of course, our community organizations, such as myself, Sherela, Southwest CDC, and St. Rest CDC, and neighborhood groups, which I think is really cool and interesting. One in particular that I really think highly of is the Kirk neighborhood, which is centered around Kirk Elementary School in Southwest Fresno, and they're called Action and Change. And you have these groups of African American neighbors as well as Latino neighbors coming together to figure out how to remove and eliminate blight on their street, how to deal with certain things such as safety. I heard that word a lot earlier today, and other things that are happening in their neighborhood. They're communicating. They're talking. We heard Joe talked about one of our community members out in North Fresno and Van Ness who had no idea who lived next door to him for years. And so that's what's happening. It's happened through several different initiatives, but neighborhood groups are forming and residents are coming together to, one, learn who each other, who's in the neighborhood and who's next to them, but also figuring out what's important to them. And that's all a part of our asset-based thinking and strategy when we're doing community engagement. So the evolution of our community is kind of sort of like this. There were some serious deficits of engagement and empowerment with our residents. You might hear in the news or see, you know, frustration and a group of folks going before city council and being very antagonistic because the frustration had just built up. So the frustration had really heightened because no matter what voices that you heard at city council or how many meetings you had or how many signs or protests you had, there was this heightened frustration due to a lack of investment in our community. And you know what? I like to think, and some of our folks may disagree with me, but some could easily blame the city. But what happened was we were not empowered ourselves to make change. And I think it came from a realization or this reality that we had that we could do nothing outside of City Hall. And so what's happened over the years, especially these recent years, is residents, through all this frustration, realize, wait a minute, we can do this ourselves. With there's this reality, as I mentioned just a minute ago, about asset-based thinking and an asset-based development approach to our community. So it's not about what we don't have and who's held out on us and all these different things, but it's about the realization of who we are and what we do have, and using that to better our community and to better ourselves. So it's kind of a different approach. But and again, going back into how we kind of where we started to hear, there's a lack of equity and inclusion in the broader public policy when it came to the city and county levels. Also, Southwest has been overanalyzed, we've been overstudied, and there just has not been anything that happens. No change. So we would get someone who would come in and be interested in Southwest because of the data statistics. Poverty, lack of infrastructure, predominantly people of color, families of color, no streets, sidewalks, no public parks, just all these different deficits. And people would come in and study our residents, would have these group meetings and resident meetings and look at and gather all this information to get funding, and then nothing would happen. Funding would come in to do the studies and whatnot, but little money would actually go into the actual development and infrastructure, into the community. Yes. So, I'm not going to go back to the map, but when you look at the map, Southwest is directly adjacent to it, to the, of course, southwest of, or west of downtown. So Southwest there's been some impact, but not necessarily life-changing or life-altering. Downtown is kind of its own community. It kind of stands separate from Chinatown, which actually is directly in between us and downtown. And so we kind of consider ourselves, while apart and around that neighborhood, there's been little investment that kind of flowed from there. Anything you want to add to that? Go ahead.
Southwest Fresno that is now a part of the downtown plan. So that, because of high-speed rail is coming, there is going to be some impact in infrastructure, and Tiffany will probably touch on TCC. So it will be interesting to see that portion of Southwest Fresno, now it's in the downtown plan. Will it get more resources? Do we need to look for gentrification? So we don't know quite yet, but there, actually where St. Rest sits in the plaza, that is now considered in the downtown plan. That was not a process with residents, so the city just rezoned and redistricted, and just we found out later. So we'll see what happens.
They have staff who do that type of research, and yeah, the planning department. Historically, that's just what's happened. Residents have not really been at the table and included in the conversations when it comes to the community. I even remember growing up, and if you know downtown, right there at Fresno Street and B Street, and Fresno and C Street, there's a huge complex, the Kearney, commercial space. That's where our Southwest Policing District is. That's the major grocery store. There's Burger King there, Panda, like different restaurants and whatnot. It's a huge commercial spot right there in which was formerly Southwest Fresno. Used to be where everything west of 99 was considered West Fresno or Southwest Fresno. Now what's happened is, and there really has been minimal to no engagement from the community, we've kind of had this rezoning, and the board, the lines for downtown district has now been moved over into parts of what has historically been known as Southwest Fresno.
St. Rest is one. The shopping center that I just mentioned, the grocery store, is a part of downtown, which historically was Southwest. It's just a lot that's happening that we find out after the fact. And I'm not sure why. It just is. And so while it is, we still have to figure out a way to best serve our residents in our community. That's a public policy thing, yeah. All right, let's keep going. And so now we have this, now we're at this place in community where we have empowered residents. It's kind of a rising of the guard. It's just not just the older generation, but we have a new younger generation of young people who are equipped and ready to figure out what are the best approaches and strategies, who are thinking strategically when it comes to our community. We have a lessened dependency on our policymakers. We, like I said earlier, we realize it doesn't lie all at City Hall. It's about what can we do with the assets that we have in our community. Discovering the nexus of our priorities. Artie's a huge part of this and leader in this. Creating and establishing these small groups that are interested in whatever it might be, education, health. One in particular that we recently were a part of that was just mind blowing was centered around the West Fresno Elementary School and Middle School. We sat down with the principal and deputy principal, discovering what the needs are and connecting them to what we're in the community doing already. Realizing that there is after school help, programming, tutoring available around the corner at the Mariella Brown Center. Understanding that our PD are very interested in how can we work and serve these kids through summer programming, through after school, through quarterly or monthly activities and events. Just a side note, our PD, our Southwest Policing District, led by Dr. He's going to kill me if I say that, led by Cap Salazar, has just been instrumental in turning our community around. Southwest has experienced some tremendous, amazing drops in crime statistics. Safety, it's actually one of the safest places in town. Believe it or not, the data speaks. And so it's amazing to see how engaged our police are with our children and with our community. They're starting a Junior Explorers Academy at Gaston Middle School, trying to really change how our young people are engaging with our law enforcement officers, which is really making a difference. Building partnerships that we otherwise might not have had. Understanding the power of partnering. Again, asset-based approach to engaging with our leaders and with one another, and impacts, not just outcomes. So we're not just looking for us just to have some type of program, but how is that program impacting the lives of our children, of our youth, of our adults, and our seniors? Is their life better? Are we seeing better health, their health impacted for the better? Are we seeing wage progression? Are we experiencing a coming together to impact the community in other ways? Not a lot. So with regards to mental health, we rely a lot on, one, the county, which of course we know that they're limited, but two, also on our churches, our pastors, which are very prevalent in West Fresno. So in Southwest Fresno, we have 52 churches. Crazy, right? 52 churches. I know at our home church, we just opened up our West Fresno, our West Side Counseling Center, which is a faith-based counseling center, directed by Dr. Rochelle Thomas. And she's looking for clinical volunteers who are willing to work and serve, some of this population. Her name is Dr. Rochelle Thomas, and I can connect you with her later. But just opened up the Westside Counseling Center to deal with the rampant mental health issues that are needed, not just from a marriage and family perspective, but you have those who are dealing with grief, those who are dealing with depression. So there's a huge need for that is beginning to be met. That really was a deficit that we had earlier. So again, impacts, not just outcomes, learning and figuring out what are some long-term sustainable changes that we can make when it comes to health, when it comes to partnering in education, providing the supports for a lot of our underperforming schools, which are in Southwest Fresno. Also, wage progression, helping our folks develop some skills in order to increase their income so that they can have a livable wage and be self-sufficient to support themselves and their families. Housing, again, is a big one that we have in Southwest Fresno. You have a lot of what we want to, I'll just call it what it is, slumlords. Those who are predatory landlords who prey on those who are not able to quite pay or who are so dependent through lack of income and all different types of things is on their housing. And what happens is you have those landlords who can kind of play and manipulate with some of our folks. And then also who don't invest in making sure that they have quality housing. But then you have some who are actually doing a good thing, who are doing great thing, who are building and providing spaces for, some of our low and extremely low income folks to live and to have a quality of life that they did not have before. Also, and that also speaks to homelessness, dealing with homelessness as well. Economic development, I said earlier, safety has really gone up because of the engagement and the partnering kind of posturing that our Southwest Police District has really taken on. Community policing is a big thing for them. And strategic alignment of all of our assets, as I said earlier. Did you have something? No? Oh, yes, sir.
Plumbers, electricians, pipe fitters. These guys make really good money, and everything seems to be directed toward you've got to get a high school diploma and go to college. Is anything being done in Southwest Fresno to deal with vocational training?
I know. Yes. In my school district, Washington Union, the high school had a lot of opportunities for that. They have the junior law and justice program. They actually have an ag program through the Wonderful program that sets up students with a job after high school if they complete.
Well, there, as far as what's called career technical education or training, yes, to answer directly. You have the EOC who has started over the last couple of years, what is known as a Valley Apprenticeship Collaborative, which is kind of a workforce development training and whatnot. And then you also have other partners who are doing training. Now, I don't know if anybody has heard of TCC, $70 million. Great. $70 million coming from the state. Well, part of those dollars, the State Center Community College District, Fresno City College specifically, is going to build a West Fresno campus that will focus on things like that. They're looking at eventually, probably I think in phase two or three, providing the fire academy will be out there. You have those trades that will be done out there as well. So yes, that is a strong point. We're realizing that pipeline from Edison High School and Washington Union are leading them into those schools, of course, Fresno State always, but leading them into those trade programs is essential for our growth and development.
Just on that point of education too, aren't we also seeing larger private companies stepping into Fresno, like companies like Chevron donating parts of their resources to these schools? My girlfriend works for, or rather she interns at one of these schools, and she has video of these classrooms with like 10 3D printers for kids who want to go into the engineering field.
So yes. Hold on 1 second. Let me 30 seconds on that. So yes. So what's happened also in Southwest Fresno, I know I sit at the table with a company like Cargill. Cargill actually makes all the hamburger patties at McDonald's all across the entire Western region of the United States, which is amazing. So what it is Cargill has come and said, hey, you know what? We're in your neighborhood. We're in your community. Let's figure out how we can invest back into it. So Cargill is active in Southwest on so many different levels. If you go into Southwest and go to a park known as the Almy Park, which is at Annadale and Almy. Yeah, in Southwest Fresno, they are a huge, along with Wells Fargo, they are a huge contributor to why that park exists today, which is adjacent to one of the Habitat for Humanity complexes there in Southwest Fresno. So Cargill is another corporate investor, neighbor that is definitely investing back into our schools, into our community, into green spaces, into our programs and activities that we're really proud of. Okay. Yes, G-I-L-L.
Okay, I think we're actually out of time. So where do we go from here? we have had really good dialogue and conversation, so I don't want it to stop here. We'll take, and I see people walking, so I don't want you guys to miss, and so I really, I'm sorry to even rush through this part. Here is our contact information, and we'd love to plug folks in to different organizations, even other than our own, like Cargill, counseling, if you wanted to, you know, anything that we can connect you folks to. So we'd love to plug you in, and even wherever that you want to be plugged into and learn more information. So we are always available. And so thank you guys for coming. Thank you for participating. And sorry to have to rush you out, but I see people walking. Thank you. Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
I would say I work for, I'm a manager for JP Morgan Chase. So, like, the redlining thing I'm very familiar with because we have to do annual training on fair housing laws and things like that. But we do a lot of, like, for our organization, we don't have a lot of donation dollars that we can give, but we have ability to do donation time.
Okay.
So I know, like, financial literacy is a huge issue in different parts of our city, and I've worked in different areas of the city, and so if there's ever, like, an opportunity for us to come in and do any type of workshop or something like that, we have resources and people who can do that, and we'd be happy to do it.
Do you have a card on you?
I don't.
Okay.
But I can write my contact information.
Okay, please. Can you write it right here?
Yeah.
I don't have anything.
Hi, I'm Owen. I also work for the Grizzlies, so if you guys need anything, please don't hesitate. I can get you in touch with the right people.
Okay.
If you guys need anything, I mean, Tiffany looks really busy, so I'll give you an extra one if you give it to her. But if you guys need anything, please don't hesitate to give us a call.
I've just retired. I was in education for some years. I have a partnership that I started with specifically to deal with food business in the community. We worked on tourism to have Freedom Unified to be a part of this. And what they were doing is OK Food was bringing in food was going out to their supermarkets, right? Toy and families and these OK Foods. And bringing produce in to the schools, and we set up, you know, farm markets, basically after school run markets, because I run all the after school programs really fast. And the students then sell the produce, and we split it across. All we do is get the money back to OK Produce to pay for the materials. I mean, we're selling a $5 bag of oranges for $5.
Thank you. I'll let you go.
Because there's just no, there's not adequate to produce in the community. And when you do get it, it's poorly, you know, it's damaged, it's from the liquor store. Yeah. But we can't get Fresno to jump in. And it's so incredibly frustrating because there are so many food deserts in West Fresno.
It's just a skill-based business.
But and so I put a staff person dedicated stores, on my staff lenders, to run this really program really out in the rural area like crazy. And again, we sell produce for 25 cents a dollar to families. Okay. And families are loving it. But Unified is a stone wall. And I started thinking, well, then we could run at your farmer's markets. I could put you in touch with OK Produce. Well, with my staff person, because OK Produce is dedicated to going through PASA, the Fresno County Office of Anybody
else. Yeah, I've been hearing about that from another organization.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Could I? I mean, you have a card. Well, I, you know what? I mean, my card's no good because I'm retired. Like
okay.
I said.
But, so you can do
but,
what
I mean,
Peter did.
They're
he
prepared.
Gave me
you know,
his
right
contact.
Now we have about 30 active sites, and OK Produce is prepared to do 100. I mean, they're losing money on this thing, but it is their service to the community.
Yeah.
I don't know. Will you mind to just say OK Produce on here?
Yes.
Hi, Sherelle. Nice to meet you. Is there some time before the next session starts to, if I could talk to you, and just interview you real quick? Do you think there's, or not right now? Oh, wait, okay. Yeah, I can give you my contact.
Can we
do it like right after?
Yeah, we can try and do it right after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here, take down my cell.
All right. So let me take a closer picture of this to my phone.
Yeah, especially in nutrition, a lot of kids have.
Thank you so much.
It's 11 hours.
Thank you.
All right, so we will go ahead and get started. Thank you all for coming and welcome to our workshop. We're going to talk about the history of the pain and new signs of hope in Southwest Fresno. So I'm Sherayla Nicholson with St. Russ Community Economic Development Corporation. We are a community benefit organization that was birthed out of St. Russ Baptist Church in Southwest Fresno. So super excited to be here with you all. And this is Tiffany.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Mangum. I'm with the Southwest Fresno CDC as well as the Fresno Housing Authority. Glad to be here.
Do you think we need this a second time?
No.
No. Okay.
What's the mic for?
So the mic is not for you guys to hear us. The mic is so they can record our voice, but they recorded us the first time. So it's been a funny thing to hold it, and it's not projecting. It's not for you guys. So I'm going to put it down since they have a recording from our first go round. So today we are going to be talking about some past pain, some history of Southwest Fresno before we get to the good work. But before we do that, we're a small, intimate group. We just want to even hear from you guys. We're communal folks. Just to even share your name, we're just going to do a quick check-in and check out at the end. Just your name and maybe what brought you in, what you, like, your expected outcome. And so we'll just hear from everyone so we can.
I'm Lisa. I just want more information. I want to just dig in and see where God has, leads me.
All right. Hi, Lisa. That's my mom's name.
I'm Steve. I'm just curious.
Kim. I grew up in Easton, so not far from that area.
Diane, I just wanted to...